Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. In today's show, we're getting into the other side of low sex drive, the guy side. The amazing Dr. Ian Kerner is calling into the show to provide a little insight on men and mismatched libidos. If you don't know who Ian Kerner is, well, you're in for a treat. Enjoy the show. Oh, we're also answering your emails. It's going to be awesome. And Menace is here.
Hi.
It's hard to believe, but holiday shopping time is here again. I know, it's so stressful trying to find the perfect gifts for everyone you love. Just thinking about it makes me anxious. But let me let you in on a little secret. You know who should be at the top of your list? You. And nothing says I love me more than gifting yourself with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. I've said it before, but the Magic Wand was part of my life long before it was part of my show. Now it's time to make it part of your life too. For more than 30 years, the Magic Wand has been the trusted massager that women around the world reach for first. Time magazine even selected it as one of the top 10 most influential gadgets of all time. The Magic Wand Rechargeable delivers all the power of the corded version, plus the convenience of being completely cordless. The full-size design makes it incredibly comfortable to use and offers 4 intensity levels and 4 great vibration patterns. So put the Magic Wand Rechargeable at the top of your self-love shopping list and maybe get one for your BFF while you're in the giving mood. To order yours today, visit magicwandoriginal.com or click the Magic Wand banner on my site.
You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where we make it so easy for you to become part of the Sex with Emily family. Because you know I love staying connected with you, and now it's easier than ever because if you go to the website, you can easily subscribe to the podcast, which we really like. Encourage you. We need you to do it. We love you to do it. Menace is here. Helps with the rankings on iTunes, it helps with more listeners. And I want to do the show forever. Like, I want to be doing the show from my grave. and I want to do it 5 days a week if I could. So just subscribe to it. You subscribe. It just means you get the show onto your phone or wherever. Okay. Also follow us on all social media. It's all at Sex with Emily across the board. And, Matt, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too. How have you been? What's going on?
Oh God. So many things. I'm excited for the holidays. Yeah. I've had
Didn't
an awesome year.
Didn't you see your mom recently?
Oh my God. So dude, my mom was here. Mm-hmm. Yes. So my mom, who's hardcore, she's just like, Emily, get this. So I've been talking about moving for a while, right?
Yeah. Quite a while. Almost a year now,
right.
I think.
So I moved to LA and I moved into this cute little place. 400
tiny little bungalow.
Bungalow makes it sound It is a bungalow.
Yeah.
But it's very small. And it's and I like it, but it's just, it has some quirks. And point is, I've been talking about moving, but I'm really busy and I get overwhelmed with the moving, and the LA is not such an easy place to look around. So my mom gets to town. And she says, Emily, from Michigan, she's like, Emily, we're doing it. Tomorrow morning, she was, this is the first night, I want you to have six places for us to look at.
Yeah.
So I did. I found all these places. We raced around town. Long story short, last night, I moved into my new place.
What? Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, totally.
No way.
She made it happen. Yep, I did. It's I've never had like a night, like, you know, for the last 11 years, it's all about the business. So we got new offices. We do all this stuff. But on my own, I'm like, I'm saving, you know. But I really feel like I needed to just have a place that was like, you know, built in this century.
Yeah.
And that had like, you know, washer dryer, like a new sink. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's gorgeous. It's two bedrooms in West Hollywood, two bathrooms. It's nice. I just moved in less up there for the first time.
That's great.
So my mom was like hardcore. My mom is like me, like she's fun and light, but she's not like neurotic or ADD. She just really is like focus.
She executes.
So, but we had a great time too. We also went out to a lot of dinners and we shopped and found myself an apartment.
That's
so
awesome.
That was great. And yeah, so we've been, you see our office with the holiday. I've never had a Christmas tree.
It's all decked out.
I know. Decked the halls with, sex with families with cock balls.
I did notice that there is a dildo with a bow on it outside.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but
it's very festive.
It's very festive. It's awesome.
I know. So we've been doing a lot of fun. Check out, if you haven't, our Instagram and our Snapchat. We did a really fun sex with Emily holiday video the other day that we shot that you're gonna love. It's also maybe on YouTube, at our website, all over. But it was fun, and it's been a great year. I gotta say, like, I very grateful for this year. What are you up to these holidays? Is life
life's great. Just busy, constantly. I am gonna go to San Francisco for a few days, and then I'm getting on a plane going to Florida. Gonna be in Florida. And then I'm getting on a ship, and then I'm going to go to Puerto Rico, Haiti, Saint Martin.
Oh my God! Just for fun, right?
Yeah. Where else am I going? Going some another place? I don't remember.
Okay.
So
but
yeah,
just the two of you, right? Like a real trip, but not like you're not going to bring your whole like Woody crew.
No.
I'm sure they'd love to come.
Where else am I? I can't even remember.
Okay, but that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
You don't travel enough. Are you racking up miles and stuff?
I'm trying, but I mean, to travel so much, then I already like spend them. You know?
Okay.
Like anytime I get time off. But I want to thank everybody because I keep on running into Sex to Emily listeners that are also listening to the Woody Show. It's great. I just ran into these two ladies just Friday at a Woody Show event. And they said, oh, I listen to Sex to Emily. So it was great.
They all love you. How come you're out more than I am. I think when I do go out, I run into some listeners, but not always. But you are everywhere.
And I try.
If I'm out, people have emailed me and said, oh, I saw you. I didn't want to say hi. Come say hi. Like I'm like, oh my God, I love you.
No, it's fine.
Speaking of San Francisco and you're going there, this brings me right to our Sex in the News.
Because
I'm kind of pissed.
What?
So every year they do this report, and this one, the 10 best and worst U.S. cities for singles.
Oh, okay.
Getting hit with Cupid Zero is part willingness and part geography, with 109 million or so single adults in the U.S. as of 2005, per the latest census. Finding the right place to settle down in both the geographical and romantic sense can be a challenge. So they looked at key indicators and they rated the city. So it includes how much restaurants and other activities cost, unemployment rates, online dating opportunities. In the 150 most populated U.S. cities, guess what's number one?
What?
San Francisco.
What?
To be single. It's the number one city to be single.
Oh, no.
I was there for 20 years and it was always like not even on the list.
What?
I move and everyone's getting laid and partying up.
See?
Pisses me off.
Because you're hogging everybody to yourself.
I slept with everybody and I left. That's why everyone's available now. So that's another truism.
I thought you were going to bring up, there was this other study that just came out too. It was about all the cities across the country. And the cities that are having the most sex, well, females, St. Louis, Missouri.
Really? The Midwest?
The Midwest, they're like banging like crazy in St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
You love the Midwest.
I do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm on the radio in St. Louis, by the way.
Oh.
Alt 104.9. This is how I know this.
Right, of course.
Alt 104.9 with the Woody Show, 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. So if happen to be in that area or know somebody, please call them up and tell them to listen.
Yeah.
But that's how I got this information. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
San Francisco was even high on that high on the list. There was like this top 10, and it was all these random places.
So maybe it's just a great town to be single, but they're not having as much sex as the people in Missouri. So here's just so you know real quick, if you're like, well, what was number two? What was number three? I'll just tell you that it was number one was best cities was number San Francisco, two Orlando, Florida, three Seattle, four San Diego, five Boston, six Austin, Texas, seven Las Vegas, eight Phoenix, nine Miami, 10 Los Angeles. Wow. So 10th best city.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of cities in America.
Right. Do you want to hear the worst? Just real quickly. I have to run all of them. But the worst, number one worst is Brownsville, Texas.
Number two,
Hialeah, Florida. They see, these are places I haven't heard of, so I just don't know.
I heard of
Hialeah.
Brownsville.
Okay. Yonkers, New York.
Yonkers? What?
Yonkers. Moreno Valley, California. Okay. The 10th worst city is Greensboro, North Carolina. So I just had to bring up that San Francisco thing because it kind of made me feel like I remember 10 years ago when we started, it was always like the worst. Like, not just did everyone else, because everyone always says wherever they live is the worst, but it literally came out that it wasn't easy. Uh-huh. But now it is.
Number one.
It's fine. I'm cool with that. We're gone now. Whatevers. Okay, guys, I'm beyond excited for you to meet someone I greatly admire and who's likely going to change the way you go down, if you know what I mean. Okay, but first, some background before I get into this amazing person. Past few months, we've done a few shows about mismatched libidos, and there's a reason for it, and that's because it's a huge issue for couples, and no one knows what the hell to do about it. In fact, I kind of feel it's like the issue. So we did a show. We talked to Stanford expert Dr. Leah Millhiser with the show's called Make Your Libido Great Again. We talked about the rise in sexual desire issues for women, and she gave real tips to improve low libido. We also did a show called Married Sex But Better with Pam Costa, and this really resonated with all of you because Pam is so cool because she just got really personal about her struggles. She went really in-depth about, you know, how she overcame her low libido. Okay, so today's show, we're focusing on the other side of the equation, the male side. So we tend to think of low libido as mostly a female issue and not a lot of insight into what it feels like for men to have a partner with low libido, but also what happens when a guy has a low libido. Hey, that happens too. So this is who we're talking to today. I'm so excited. Dr. Ian Kerner, he's a PhD and licensed marriage and family therapist, a sexual health columnist for CNN, and Prevention Magazine, and best-selling author of She Comes First, The Thinking Man's Guide to Pleasuring a Woman. Now, I've talked about this on the show a bunch over the years. It came out in 2004, so like a year before I started the show. And still, all these years later, it's all the rage because it's literally the Bible for any man who wants to truly understand how to please a woman. A lot about oral sex. It's just like a must-read. The details are specific. If you even just read two pages, I promise your oral sex skills will improve. But, if you want to know about this book too, I think we put a link on our site. Read the Amazon reviews. And you can also look for the She Comes First banner on my site or click on books under the Shop with Emily tab. But we're not going to get into that today. We might talk a little bit about She Comes First. I can't help it. But really, he's also seen so many couples struggle with mismatched libidos. And he's got some great insights. And I'm excited to talk to him.
Hello.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure, Emily.
I'm so happy to talk to you. I want you to know, I don't know if I told you this or not, but I was reminiscing about, this is not the part that I talked about earlier, but I was reminiscing that I was such a fan. When I first started 11 years ago, my show, everything I read, like, you know, any sex article, sex and relationship article, whether it be like in a magazine or, you know, online, it was always Ian Kerner, Ian Kerner. I was like, wow, this guy, maybe one day, like, I could meet Ian Kerner, be quoted somewhere, you know? And I've always been a huge fan of your work. And then we actually got to meet and have lunch, and now I consider you a friend and colleague. And I don't know, you've done such amazing work. And I know that one of your, you know, She Comes First, like, is a Bible. That's what I was glowing about for men. I'm just like, if a guy hasn't read that, I almost feel like, okay, it's called She Comes First, The Thinking Man's Guide to Pleasuring a Woman. And I just feel like I get all these calls and emails about oral sex. And I should just, instead of just getting into the details, I should just say buy Ian's book from now on. Because I say it sometimes, but like, you know, people want to hear the details. But your book was so, after you published in 2004, right?
Yeah, it was a while ago now. It's almost 13 years that it's been out.
But it's still the best.
that book is the little book that just, you know, keeps on going and keeps on giving. I wrote it from such a sincere place in my heart. And, you know, it was more than just about oral sex or sexual clitoracy. It was really a whole philosophy about men respecting and understanding female pleasure and female sexual anatomy. And, you know, I'm amazed at how the book continues to be received. You know, it has never dropped, I think, below the top five on Amazon in the sex category since it's come out. And it just has its own little magic to it, and I'm truly grateful.
Yeah, no, and I'm grateful because I can't tell you. Well, all the women in the world are grateful. No, because it's really, there's so many guys I've talked to who've just said, well, I read She Comes First. She comes, and sometimes I just say it on the show. I'm like, you know, She Comes First. It's just become part of like the, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny. Did you ever, you know, there's this writer, Milan Kundera, who wrote the book Unbearable Lightness of Being. Mm-hmm. And so he has said, if I could title every book of mine The Unbearable Lightness of Being, I would, because it's just my favorite title and my favorite book, and I really feel that way about She Comes First.
Yeah, it's just interesting because there's been, and we got so much to talk about today. I know you have a short time, but it's just interesting because there's a lot of other books have written about sex and pleasing women, but this one, like, you just go into such great detail. I mean, it truly is like a Bible for men, the way you break it down. And I was saying, like, even people could just, even if you just read like three pages in depth, you'd learn, believe me, you'd like up your game by 20%. Read the whole book, you know? So what's the one thing, if there's anything from that you think, if there is one or two things that just people have told you just really resonated for them?
Well, you know, I think, you know, for men and women, really moving from an intercourse paradigm, or what I call the intercourse discourse, believing that, you know, intercourse has to be the center of your sexual menu, and moving from intercourse to outer course, you know, really embracing clitoral stimulation and manual stimulation of the clitoris and oral stimulation of the clitoris. And so not only placing the clitoris at the center of sex between two partners, but also liberating men from the anxiety of their penises.
Right.
Whether it's the size of their penis or how long they're going to last or if they're going to be able to maintain an erection. So I think the reason She Comes First has stayed popular is because it really helps people to relax, enjoy sex, and get rid of so many of the anxieties that are sort of embedded in intercourse.
Right. Because they have such a, because this way they're actually get out of their head. They realize that they're actually succeeding. They're like, oh, I can do this. I can please her. And then they automatically just kind of, their anxiety level goes down. They feel more in control. And it's like a feedback loop.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. For so many men, it is just the, really the pleasure of giving pleasure as opposed to receiving pleasure.
Exactly.
And so I think it just, you know, speaks to sexual authenticity. And, you know, when I was early working on the book, I came up with the phrase, I came up with it, but the phrase, viva la vulva. And I think Betty Dodson actually used it first, but I heard
that phrase,
viva la vulva. And I was like, that's it. That's the spirit of this book, viva la vulva. And every sentence I wanted to infuse with that sort of enthusiasm and exuberance.
I want a t-shirt that says Viva the Vulva right now. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Okay. Well,
I have to send you the original yoga shirt that says Think Outside Her Box on the back.
Oh my God, Ian. Yes, please. And I'll send you a Sex with Emily t-shirt that says I had sex with Emily and all I got was this t-shirt. I mean, it's not as great as yours, but I will send you
one. My wife will appreciate.
Yeah, exactly. She'll know we just had, you know, sex on the radio. Okay, but Ian, this is what I want to talk to you about today, because you are an expert in so many things, and I know you've been a marriage family therapist, and you see a lot of couples. I talked about your background, but you do see a lot of couples, and you help them handle intimacy issues, mismatched libidos, and I feel like a lot of what you probably deal with is our intimacy issues, but like, how often do you see, and I hate, this question is so, people ask me this all the time, but really, like, what is the one reason, if there is any, couples come to see you? Like, I'm going to say a lot of it has to do with intimacy and libidos. What about from your perspective? Yeah.
I would say the number one issue that couples come to me with is desire discrepancy. So one partner in the relationship is more interested in sex than the other partner is. And I think, you know, stereotypically you would think, oh, the, you know, amped up sex charged guy and the sort of the woman he's trying to avoid. And, you know, certainly I do see a lot of, you know, mismatched libidoed couples where the guy does have more desire, but oftentimes I also see women who have more desire than their male partners. But I would say finding that balance,
right,
in sexual desire is the number one issue I deal with.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so that is kind of mismatched libidos, right? Desire discrepancy.
Yeah.
I like that way of saying it. I was like,
that tends to be, that tends to be the number one issue. And then you start to get into different issues like in men, erectile disorder, premature ejaculation, different kinds of erotic conflicts in women, inability to really get aroused, you know, sometimes painful sex, orgasm issues, sex after infidelity, sex after trauma. But for the mainstream sort of average couple coming to see me, it's desire discrepancy.
Yes, absolutely. Like I just left, I was saying everywhere I go, I just came back from a dermatologist appointment. She's like, oh, Emily, I've been wanting to talk to you. You know, it's like you get this too. Wherever you go, that is the issue. And I was saying we've done a lot of shows on this in the last few weeks from female perspectives. Dr. Leah Milheiser called in and we had another woman on the show who had gone through a lot of stuff and to, you know, increase her libido. But I'm wondering from your perspective, like, you know, how, like what percentage of couples actually like overcome it? And like, how do you, I guess, what's your strategy and how do they overcome it? Do they overcome it? That's three questions. But.
Well, first of all the couples that come to see me, I would say I have a very high success rate. I really try and I see couples every other week. I really try and give them homework that's really custom designed to their situation. You know, I do a lot of psychoeducation. I think with desire discrepancy, I think one of the huge challenges is that men and women very often experience desire differently, and that men will experience spontaneous desire. They could just see their wife or their girlfriend getting out of the shower and they are thinking sex and ready to have sex. And men often get the gift of spontaneous desire and that it comes so easily. And many women, especially as they're in long-term relationships, science has shown that they experience responsive desire, meaning desire doesn't come first and then lead to sex, that some kind of arousal leads into desire. And so for couples that are frustrated about why they're not having sex, and for men who feel like, man, it's like I step up and pitch all the time and I'm just like, or I'm stepping up to bat all the time and I'm just striking out and I'm feeling rejected and why doesn't she ever pursue? And then I talk to the female partner and she's like, yeah, I don't know what's exactly wrong with me. I like sex. I'm attracted to my partner. I just don't want sex. I really try and move them from a spontaneous desire paradigm to a responsive desire paradigm and to embrace the idea of creating arousal in advance of expecting desire. And so, for example, I have a little exercise that I do with couples for homework. I tell them, you know, after giving them a little psychoeducation, that the most important thing that you need to have leaving my office is the willingness to generate the arousal that may or may not lead to desire. I'm not interested in whether or not you're going to have sex. I'm just interested in whether or not you have the willingness to generate the arousal that in all likelihood will lead to responsive desire. I call this exercise a willingness window, and I tell them to do it for 15 minutes, two or three times a week. And then, of course, they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do in that willingness window? And, then it becomes creative. I've had couples who, you know, they really want to like kiss and make out again, like teenagers, or like enjoy just like that sort of above the waist fooling around.
Right.
Sometimes they want to like massage. I had one couple, they used to love wrestling each other. And so they wanted to like have a wrestling match with each other.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes couples really want to focus more on like a brain-based kind of arousal. So it could be reading erotica, watching some porn together. I try and steer my couples towards ethical porn as opposed to just the free stuff.
Right.
But I give them this exercise, and again, the goal is not to have sex. It just becomes an exercise in generating arousal, and I gradually move them into that responsive desire, arousal-generating model. And sometimes that's all I need to do. And then they just get used to it. And then they have a new way of sort of talking about sex, approaching sex, courting each other around sex.
Right. So they find what kind of, so let's say they go home, they do their homework 15 minutes, and they decide that they want to give each other massages, they get turned on. And so now you're saying they have that information now to think, okay, when he gets out of the shower and she's like, you know, he's ready to go. And she's like, I'm looking for my leave-in conditioner right now and I got to go to work. Like, that's what I'm thinking if a guy wants to have sex. I'm like, I'm getting ready.
Right.
So they're like, okay, this way, he's not feeling rejected, but he understands and she understands, no, we have to do a little bit of this beforehand. We've got to do whatever it is, if it's the talking or the reading erotica, right? Like, kind of implement
absolutely. And the thing that I would add, Emily, is that I try and give them an activity that they're going to find a little exciting to.
Like,
I mean, look, sex is sexy, sex is arousing. So many couples are like, when I talk about if the idea of massage comes up, they're like, we already do that, we already cuddle,
right.
We already
exactly.
have all the affection. So it's not just about physically connecting and being intimate or securing your attachment. It's doing something that's like kind of sexy
so
and
like
titillating
what?
And arousing.
Give
as
an example.
Well.
Like, besides the porn, if they're already doing that, or besides the, like, I'm just trying to understand how, I mean, I understand the responsive desire. Like, I get it, but I'm trying to think of, like, if people are listening and they're saying, yeah, we do that. It's kind of like rewiring the way that they couples connect. So I'm just, so you give them this act, and obviously it's very successful for your couples, but like they do it a few times a week. It just starts to become part of their routine, right? Because you're having them do it 3 minutes, three times a week, 15 minutes is probably more than they were even having sex before. So
yeah, I mean, that's only one exercise. And the thing that's really neat about that exercise is I'm asking them sort of to not have sex, or I'm telling them not to worry about sex. So for a lot of people that have, you know, desire discrepant relationships, it's not just the sex that's stopping them. It's the anxiety around sex or the pressure around sex. So when I give them this exercise and I'm like, listen, I actually am not, I'm asking you not to have sex.
Right.
I'm actually maybe even giving you a rule because you both are so fraught and there's so much anxiety. So don't have sex.
Yeah, take
and
sex off the table.
Tell a couple not to have sex.
Right.
They have sex.
Exactly. Right. No, I love this. I've said that to couples too. Like, for 1 month, just rediscover each other's bodies. So, I can see how that works. And they're also coming to see you every other week, which is great. And I know you've had a lot of success with this. And I want to know though. Okay, so my other thing I want to talk to you about, because I said we've talked to a lot of women. I want to talk about like men and their libidos, because just like you opened up with, I believed when I started this that it was always about men, like, you know, wanted sex all the time and women had a headache and, you know, pushing them away. But hey, you know, guys, I hear from so many women, they're like, my partner just doesn't want it. So is there any like causes for men you think that are a little bit different than women? Or how would you describe it?
You know,
I know there's not one.
That, I mean, I think that libido is tied into a number of factors. So there's health factors at play. There's diet and exercise factors. There is lifestyle factors at play. There are relational factors at play. You could be angry at your partner. You could be bored with your partner. I do find that men derive a lot of their self-esteem, and sexual self-esteem is tied to overall self-esteem. I do find that a lot of men derive their kind of their sexual self-esteem from things outside of the relationship sometimes, like how they're doing at work and the kind of validation or affirmation that they're getting out in the world. So I have seen that, like, when men lose a job or men are going through some sort of transition or men feel stuck, that it does have a very large sort of outsized effect on libido.
I've seen that
so,
too.
I think really, though, the thing is that, you know, as relationships unfold, men too can start to move into a responsive desire paradigm where it just takes more to be interested in sex. But I think a lot of men are expected to sort of be, are expected to A, initiate sex, sort of be these walking erections and always be interested in sex. So I think a lot of men struggle under the gender stereotypes around how men are supposed to function around sex.
Absolutely. There's so many that they have to always want it and they have to know what to be doing. And then there is, they're ruled by their penises. And if it doesn't work or something goes wrong or they don't desire it, it's
right.
It's
exactly, which is why, again, I think part of the success of She Comes First was that it really created sort of a philosophy and sort of a foundation for having sex that doesn't just involve your penis.
Right. Exactly. I loved it. Okay, so I think that's my stocking stuffer for everyone. I just realized. Menace, I don't think I've given it to you yet, and you probably need it more than anybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you think for that? Sure. But dude,
no
come on.
Way.
We've talked. You don't. Come on. We know what? You need it. This book, I just think it would help you. You don't have to read
help
that much.
Help me with what?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure you're doing fine. Okay, so Ian, here's my other question.
But definitely, I believe that the book can help a lot of people.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
it's
your legendary. Email box is full of people that can use this book.
I know. And I just say sometimes, I'm like, she comes first, you know, that close sentences mm-hmm. that way. I'm like,
yeah,
end of discussion.
And the fun thing about She Comes First, too, is I just want to add that it wasn't just like the philosophy. I really got into the techniques. I really got into sort of like sex scripts. I really got into the moves. I came up with a lot of like, very creative oral sex techniques like the Jackson Pollock approach. And, you know, I kind of tried to make it, you know,
it's
really
fun
accessible and fun and clever.
Yeah, that's why I think it works, because it's not just like one of these fluffy books, but you get whatever you topic, you get into it. So it's like you can't not learn from it. Like, so I love that. Okay, so here's my next question is I'm curious about. So if we're talking about women with low libido, for example, because that's what we've been talking a lot mm-hmm. lately. And I'm curious, like what part, so if a woman's suffering from low libido, what part should or can her partner play in it? Because I think a lot of times, like what's the constructive behavior? Because women think I got to go it on my own. Like, what do you recommend? I know you're saying like together they should do it, but.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about the differences between, you know, responsive desire and spontaneous desire. We didn't talk too much about like the dual control model or the fact that the sexual brain really is sort of like a car. It has an accelerator that's like all the things that turn you on and brakes, which are all the things, inhibitors, which are all the things that turn you off. And I think that men, so coming back to this concept of responsive desire and arousal, I think that men can really be the leaders of helping to generate arousal in the relationship. And so that can be, that can come up in a lot of different ways. First, it could be sort of saying, well, what are the inhibitors that my partner is facing in terms of getting aroused? So maybe it's like a lot of chores or things or worries or stressors or kids or things that are happening outside of the bedroom. A guy can first of all help by helping a woman to kind of get her foot off those sexual brakes and reduce those inhibitors. So that's one thing that he can do. The second thing I think is kind of put together like a little arousal plan, you know, for example, there is a really cool product out there called Fiera that I like a lot.
I was just going to ask you about that. I'm so glad you do. Okay, right. Love it. Tell me what you think of it.
Yeah. So what's that?
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts. I love it.
I think Fiera is really incredible.
The Fiera.
First of all, I think I think we're living in sort of the renaissance and the golden age of like sort of like sexual products. And Fiera to me is sort of the epitome of it in that it's really innovative. It has great technology and it's beautifully designed and it does something really unique. So basically this is a product. It's, a small sort of, I don't even know how to describe it. It's sort of like a small, cute little.
It's cute.
It looks almost like a small version of a mouse that you would use on a computer.
But like a cute little mouse, like a pink little mouse with like little legs that you just
like
kind of cuddle with you.
It's like a cute pink little mouse that a woman sort of puts over her clitoris and it forms like a seal using suction.
Right.
And she turns it on and there's a combination of sort of suction and vibration, which provides a high level of it provides sort of a base level of stimulation mm-hmm. that helps bring blood forward towards the clitoris while providing stimulation, and it really helps to create high levels of arousal.
Right.
unlike a sex toy, it doesn't lead to orgasm. It's not designed to lead to orgasm. It's just designed to sort of generate the arousal that will lead to responsive desire. So I often recommend to men that they buy a product like Fiera for their partners. And of course, you know, guys are like, I love the idea of it. I think it's really cool that if she could do this for 10 or 15 minutes and be more in the mood, it's awesome. How do I sort of give her this as a present?
Exactly. You know, like, hey, honey, right. It looks like a cute little mouse and a clitoris cuddler, but it's going to cuddle with your clitoris and turn you on. But right, how? What do you say to him, though? I think it's just wrap it in a diamond or something?
Well, you know, Emily, so first of all, I do think that men need to understand the concept behind a product like Fiera. Mm-hmm. They need to understand the difference between spontaneous and responsive desire. They need to be able to tell their partner, like, you know, honey, I find you so sexy. Like, when you come out of the shower or when you're just bending over to put some dishes in the dishwasher, believe it or not, I am thinking sex and I'm ready to go. That's me. And I've learned, you know, that women don't exactly work that way, and that women need arousal in order to feel that kind of desire. So I'm all about you feeling aroused, and I want to do things that are going to create arousal. I want to dance with you. I want to talk to you. I want to have fun conversations. I want to share a fantasy. I want to make out with you. I want to bring some fun stuff into the bedroom. So, like, hey, let's get some sexy lingerie, or let's get a sex toy. Here's this really cool little gizmo, this cute little gizmo that I've been reading about. And, you know, you don't make it about fixing a problem, and you don't necessarily even make it the only part of the solution. You make it sort of a multi-part solution, of which Fiera can really be one big part of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Part of an overall arousal plan. Yeah. But I think the big thing is that it's not just like, here, honey, use this, go get turned on.
Right.
You know, that's the mistake. Guys, really, you know, once I explain, that's why sex therapy is so wonderful, because I get to do the psychoeducation and I get to explain things to guys, the principles behind things. And just like She Comes First, once they understand the principles, they can use their own imagination and creativity to put it into action.
Exactly. Yeah, it's perfect for this. You're right. I'm thinking they could, like, I'm thinking about, like, you know, people get this after the holidays, though, but you could really wrap it up like it's not just the Fiera, but it's like the Fiera and maybe a toy and some lingerie. It's like a little sex kit you put together, you know? So
absolutely. And, yeah. You know, buy the device, get some massage oil.
Yeah. So fun. I mean, I love the pairing. It kind of reminds me of like my Bluetooth, you know, but it's like pairing to my clitoris. And it vibrates. Metis, you'd love it if you had a clitoris, because he's such a tech guy, but yeah. I wish I could show you
Bluetooth
how it works. It literally is like pairing, and it's like sucking on your clitoris. You'd love it.
Oh my God.
But no, it's pretty amazing, and I've never seen anything like it. We've all tried it in the office often, and I realize the more that I use it, it actually is getting me more turned on. Sex is more top of mind. It's fun. I'm glad you like it too. Yeah, that's great.
And what I really like about it too is it's sort of the perfect combination of suction and vibration to really create arousal without it taking you over the edge into needing to have an orgasm right away. So I really think it does what it sets out to do, what it was designed to do, which is to create the arousal that will lead to desire.
Right. You're right. It's a good missing piece. I like it. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Ian Kerner. This is
anytime, Ms. Emily.
This is your first time on the show, but we've been talking about it for a while. I just want you in here so we could do like a 6-hour show. I mean, no pressure, but it could even be an hour. I just have so much to talk to you about. Next time you're in LA or I'm in New York, we're going to do it. I would love it.
Okay. And let's make a date.
Okay. And everyone can find Ian Kerner. It's at Good in Bed across the board.
Yeah, I would go to my website, iankerner.com.
Okay, iankerner.com. Great. Check out his book. We have that. We also have the links to all of his stuff on our website. And thank you so much. I will see you soon, and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Bye, Ian.
Bye.
Bye.
Very he's informative.
Awesome. I know. He's so cool. Like, I love him. Yeah. Like, we've had lunch in New York. Like, I'm just like, oh, God. And he's just like a cool, chill, down-to-earth guy who's kind of brilliant in this area.
That's awesome. Very brilliant.
Yeah, you'd like him. And he likes the Fiera, which I should show it to you, but it's the coolest. Like, literally, it's like pairing. And when it pairs to your clitoris for the suction, it's like the light turns blue. And he's like, you can, like, walk around.
Technology,
like,
man.
So cool, man. Okay, so that was awesome. Okay, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to read your emails, answer emails, and change your life. We'll be right back. When listeners ask me about how to change things up in the bedroom, a lot of times they mention that they always wind up having sex in the same position. They want to know what else they can try. And the truth is, some of the most exciting positions can be difficult to stay in for extended periods. You want the payoff of an amazing orgasm for all your hard work, but it's not always easy to do. Enter Sport Sheets. Sport Sheets has made sexual positioning one of their top priorities, and frankly, no one does it better. One of their star players is the Door Jam Sex Sling. The name kind of says it all. It's a strong nylon sling that hangs from almost any door. One partner is suspended in a comfortable seat with their legs held up by the stirrup straps. This gets your partner in the perfect position for upright sex with you standing in front of them, or vice versa, opening up all new possibilities for more pleasure. If it sounds complicated, trust me, it isn't. We just shot a short video demonstrating it. Check it out at sportsheets.com/Emily. The Door Jam Sex Sling is totally safe, very comfortable, and easy to use. It creates a whole new level of control and pleasure. In fact, it's so comfortable, we have one hanging on the door of our studio now. Sometimes we just hang out in it, read, answer emails, you get the picture. To see me demonstrate the sling and to order one for yourself, visit sportsheets.com/Emily. That's sportsheets.com/Emily. And use code Emily at checkout to save 20%. All right, Menace, guess what?
What?
Time for emails.
Yeah.
Because I know you love them. I love them too. You guys, you've been so awesome. We are getting so many great emails. As you know, we've been doing more call-in shows lately. So you just go to sexwithemily.com. You click on the Ask Emily tab. And you fill out the form. Tab. That was very Michigan. Fill out the form and hit submit. So easy. But now you have an option. Call. Would you like to be called? Check that box if you would like us to hit you up and set up a time to be called. And then you'll call into the show. Mm-hmm. We'll answer your question live, which is so fun for us. You could also leave us a voicemail, you guys. A few of you have done it. I love the voicemails as well. It just gets away from just reading the emails, which I love, but it's kind of nice to hear your voice. 818-ASK-SWE1. 818-275-7931. This is on the website. So just do that. And as always, we love your age, where you live, how you listen to the show.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Emily. My husband and I love to listen to your podcast as we recently had sexual awakenings and have rejected sex shaming that was taught by our upbringing. We feel like we're finally getting educated about our sexuality and experimenting more openly with each other. I love that he's a feminist and always respects me as an individual. That being said, my question for you has to do with sexual dominance. I would love to be tied up, pushed around, roughed up in the bedroom. Problem is that this is not at all natural to my dear hubby. In fact, the one time when he spanked me hard at my request, he looked like a hurt puppy and kept apologizing, even though I liked it. I know this stems from his deep love and care for me and trust. I appreciate that so much. But how can I encourage him to be more dominating? I don't want him to ever feel uncomfortable, and I want him to be able to enjoy it too. So do you have any ideas that would satisfy my desire to be dominated without making him feel like he's hurting me? Thanks so much for your help. Love, Lizzie, 23, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, that's not Missouri. I just did what people do to me with the Michigan thing.
It's
I'm
fine.
Like, oh, wait, Menace is on in Missouri.
But it is. Oh, I have some
You have some Minnesota
in
info?
In Minnesota, and they were just posting online today how cold it is.
Oh, it's 7 degrees in Michigan. So wait, let me just finish one thing from Lizzie, because she did a PS. Lizzie, you're a true listener, because I love this PS. I know you like the details. Here's some specs. You guys, everyone learn from Lizzie. She says, married 4 years. We were each other's firsts. We have sex 4 to 10 times a week. Well, that's a lot. That's great. 10 times a week. We like mutual masturbation with porn. Both from conservative religious families, recently had sexual awakenings in quotes, and rejected sex shaming that was taught by our upbringing. Okay. Thank you for that, Lizzie. Love it. Okay. So here's the thing, Lizzie. This is a great question. And I have to say, here's some steps I think you need to walk through. First, you have to understand that telling a guy, like, dominate me or, you know, do something that's aggressive is a really confusing message for men, given the stereotypes, the social stereotypes that men are put up against, you know, from a young age. They're told respect women, you know, you need consent, you know, they want to be the protectors of women. They don't want to bring them any harm or pain. And then all of a sudden, here's a woman who's like, dominate me, throw me against the wall. So it kind of flies in the face of everything they've learned. So it can be very confused to some men.
Yeah.
They have guilt. They have shame. They're like, this isn't normal for me to be aggressive with a woman like this. You know, because men, I think a lot of men, when they're with women, they're like always so worried. They're going to, like, you know, hurt her or do something. You know, they don't want to be, like, seen as creepy or weird. You know, it's like this ingrained in their system from the time they're young. So that's one thing. So I think how we can help him along here, Lizzie, is for you, I would just get clear on exactly what your fantasy is, okay? So you say you want to be dominated, but that's like a huge umbrella. So, like, how would you like to be dominated? Do you want to be spanked, tied up, like dirty talk? You know, do you have certain fantasies? Do you want to use props, you know, floggers, handcuffs? You know, like, do you want to throw you against the wall, tear your clothes off?
Uh-huh.
So all of these fall under that umbrella of domination. So it could be clear that he doesn't even know exactly what you want, and maybe you don't. So once you figure it out and you guys can figure it out together, I love that you guys watch porn together. So pick out some porn scene that depicts how you'd like to be dominated. You know, maybe have some fun looking for it. Some BDSM, light BDSM. You could pick that, babe. That's what turns me on, you know? Because again, it is very confusing for men. So maybe if you give them a little more, you know, redirection. Like, you're not going to rewire the entire male consciousness, but you can show him how turned on you get from his spanking, how turned on you get when he, like, you know, throws you against the wall. You know, if he sees a connection between his actions of turning you on, you know, he's like, oh, wow, this is so hot that I'm able to bring you pleasure. And hopefully he'll be able to build, like, new grooves in his brain that will just kind of, he'll take away that shame and that confusion and just be able to dominate you. It's a teaching thing.
It is.
It's hard. Yeah.
The information I was going to share about Minnesota is a friend of mine posted online, said that it's 23 degrees. Partly cloudy with wind conditions with a chill of minus 17 degrees. So they should be inside, like, banging like crazy.
I know. You know? Well, that's why they're banging so much. No, it's so true. My mom's like, I'm dying. She called me today. She's like, it's so cold.
Hasn't she been there, like, mostly her whole life?
Yeah, but now she goes to Florida half the year. So she's going to Florida on Friday. She goes to Florida. Yeah.
She's going to Florida on Friday?
Yeah.
I'll probably see her. Where are you going? Florida.
Oh, Disney World?
I don't even know where I'm
going. Oh, because you're taking a cruise. You're probably going to Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. And I am going to Orlando.
Mm.
Where's she at, though?
She's in Sarasota.
I have no idea where that is.
No, you wouldn't know. But it's a cute little town. She likes it there.
I really want to go to the Florida Keys and check that
out.
That's fun. Yeah.
Florida's fun.
It is.
It's, like, hot.
Everyone always bags on it because all these crazy stories come out of Florida. But look how big the freaking state
is. It's a huge state. You know? There's a lot of different places. It's quirky. It's kitschy. It's Americana. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, another email here. Dear Emily, my name is Rob. I'm 51 and live in Indiana. I've enjoyed your show for several years and enjoy the topics and discussions between yourself, Anderson Menace, and the rest of your wonderful staff.
Hey.
I'm writing to you today concerning a concern. Recently, I lost my job of 8 years. It all boiled down to the powers that be did not appreciate illness and other things due to my age. Of course, that wasn't the official reason. And since then, I've experienced an increasing rise in the need to masturbate or have sex with my wife. The thing is, even with masturbating or having sex more than a few times a day, I'm not feeling any elation or pleasure. I have the enjoyment while in the act, but afterwards comes a feeling of nothing, just a feeling of trying again. I do want to note that previously my drive was totally normal. Let me know what you think. Thanks, Rob.
Wow.
I know. So, Rob, this is interesting because this is, like, exactly what Ian was saying, and I've said this on the show, is that many times that when a man, we're trying to pinpoint the differences between, like, what affects women's libido and men. And like Ian said, I totally agree. For men, it's like loss of job security. It's tied to their self-esteem. So right now, I think you're probably feeling a little depressed. I mean, that would make sense that you lost your job. There's no explanation for it. And you're trying to use sex to kind of placate you or numb that feeling that you have from losing your job, but it's not working. you know? And so mm-hmm. it's not going to work because you need to like get into, you need to actually experience the emotions, and all the masturbation and all the sex in the world are not going to help you go through the grieving process of the job and just whatever sadness you're feeling. Because the sooner you do that, the quicker you'll get to the other side and get through it and then figure out what's next, you know? But it's, you know, we all go through these cycles of being down, depression. You know, again, you're not alone. When men feel stressed about work, money, like it literally has a direct switch to the libido. They're like, oh, I'm worried about money. Duh, libido uh-huh. off. So I would just say, Rob, that just maybe just kind of take a break from the set. Don't like keep looking for this to be your salvation. I think you need to take some time and get into your feelings, thoughts, emotions. Okay, Rob, hang in there. You got a wife, lovely wife. You guys could talk, a little therapy. Never hurt anyone.
Easy.
Okay. Next email we got. Hi, Emily. For as long as I can remember, I've had a true love of women's feet. This is for you, Menace, because I know you love
fetish. Yeah, no, I just want to understand it. That's what I'm always trying to understand.
I know you are, honey. So long. I've loved women's feet so long. I like that they're well cared for and attractive. I've never thought of this as an unhealthy appreciation for a part of a woman's anatomy that can be quite lovely. Obviously, with all the money that goes into pedicures, foot care in this country each year, women must also agree with my philosophy. Here's my question, Em. Why do you think that foot appreciation still gets a bad rap and is looked at some as being weird and kinky? I truly just don't get it. In my book, it's no different than appreciating women's legs, bottom, breasts. Yet it still seems to be a topic that is made fun of and joked by many. I'd really like your thoughts on this. I realize I'm probably older than some of your listeners, but that does not squelch my appreciation for the beauty that women bring to the table.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time, Emily. Love your show. Scott, 59, in the United States of America.
Scott.
So he might have a foot fetish. He might not. He just says he really loves feet. But I think this is a great question, Scott, because to be honest with you, with all the goddamn money I've spent on pedicures, I would love, like, never, no guy's ever been like, wow, is that like fire engine red nail polish? That's so hot. No guy's ever, and I have nice feet. I'm not having weird feet. They don't appreciate it. So I would not be like freaked out if a guy noticed it. But I think what you're talking about is like even incorporating into sex. Like, why is that so weird? And I think the reason why there is a stigma about like foot fetishism and stuff is because I think we have an image in our mind of men worshiping women's feet at the expense of all other intimacy. Like, they just want the feet. Mm-hmm. They just want her to like step on his head with the heels, or he wants to rip, you know, he wants to lick down her leg and take the stockings off with his mouth. I don't know. And I agree that it's part of the whole process of appreciating to be turned on by a woman's beauty, and there shouldn't be a stigma. I'm telling you, when a guy has, like, on the rare occasion, like, not even complimented my feet, but, like, played with my feet or give me a foot massage or, like, sucked my toes after a shower. Don't get grossed out. I knew Menace was going to say something. No, but I think it's hot. Like, it feels good, you know? And I'm curious if you're asking about the stigma that's coming from the woman you're with or to society in general. So women, I think, you know, they might just not be used to a guy taking so much interest in their feet because it's just, again, not so familiar. So with a new woman, I wouldn't just jump, hopefully just like a guy who just jumps into like, hey, let's just have sex. I'm like, appreciate my breasts. Let's make out for a while. So I think you got to go slow with anything. Like, you don't want to just dive to the feet, but I don't know why. It's interesting because the feet are something that we also look at as a lot of people look at as like weird or ugly or smell. Like, people have issues with feet.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
Do you?
I don't have...
not issues with feet, but...
I mean, if they are not well kept, then yes.
Do you notice that, though? Like,
notice it, yeah. They're not well kept, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, I definitely do noticeable.
Yeah, right. It is. But like, I don't know. I mean, I think foot fetish, yeah, it just has like this weird... It's been like this... image we have in our society, but I think you're cool.
Notice also if a woman has the same size feet as me.
Really? Do they ever? Do you have small feet?
No, I have 10 and a half. Standard.
What's that to woman's feet, though?
I don't know what that is, but I do recognize women, that. Yeah.
Okay. But you're not like, I don't know. I know a lot of guys.
I'm like, she has quite a large foot.
Right. But that's my take on it. I mean, I get there's a whole theory.
It doesn't give me a boner or anything.
Right. I got it. Okay. So that's what I think there, Scott. That's my answer. That's what I think. Don't trip on it. Have some fun with the feet.
Yeah.
That's all we got time for here.
That's it.
That's it, man. It's happy holidays, everyone.
I know.
I love you all.
Everyone has a good time. You know, hook up, have a lot of sex, stay in the house. The holidays, or do whatever, have fun, but just always be safe. There's always Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, Uber.
Taxi.
Exactly. All that stuff. And I love you all. Thank you for supporting the show. We're heading into our 11th year. And Menace can find, God, check out his show. Tell if you have even one friend in Minnesota. Minnesota?
No.
Missouri?
Missouri. St. Louis.
Damn it. St. Louis. Check out the Woody Show. If you're in Los Angeles, check it out. Support him.
Thank you.
It's at Menace across the board.
Yep. That's me.
And find us also, you guys. I love it. Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at Sex with Emily. Subscribe to the newsletter. And now download Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify. Shop with Emily. We've got a great store. I love you all. Happy holidays. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Just something about the fall that makes me feel like cuddling up with an old friend. And hey, you guys may have some fond memories too. Yes, I'm talking about The Intensity by Pour Moi. The Intensity is an amazing product that has made a serious impact on my life. Let me rewind a bit to explain. The Intensity was originally developed as a medical device to cure, yes, cure incontinence issues. You know, like you sneeze and you pee. Because these issues typically stem from a weakened pelvic floor, the Intensity works by applying gentle electrostimulation directly to that muscle group, giving you an amazingly effective Kegel workout. And you all know how I feel about Kegel exercises. And for a little plot twist, the makers learned that the product's only real side effect was an intense orgasm. So realizing the Intensity was a winning combination of utility and pleasure, they enhanced it with a powerful vibration and a clitoral stimulator. The result, much more than a sex toy. It's a product that has changed my sex life. I mean, G-spot orgasms, anyone? The Intensity combines two things I love and talk about all the time, Kegel exercises and orgasms. To find out how it can change your sex life, click on the Intensity banner on my website or go to pourmoi.com. That's P-O-U-R-M-O-I.com.